stopped all this trouble, the word, you know, get on. And when I got done, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He brought it to my remembrance this afternoon. He said, what does the word say? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. He said, it don't say it won't form. Come on, somebody. We don't like to hear that. Hallelujah. How many of those things form? Satan has strategies and tactics, you know. And the Bible says that he's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Now that means he can't just devour everybody, you know. But he's looking to see who he can devour. And you know, the Bible talks about, that's why the Word of God is so important. The Bible talks about in Ephesians, over there it says, take the shield of faith, where you will quench all, somebody say all, the fiery darts of the devil. Whatever is the devil. Now everything's not the devil. Things happen, things in the natural, you know, and everything. But when you know that it's the enemy, when you know it's the enemy coming against you, you know, it's time to stand against him. The Bible says, resist him steadfast, how? In the faith. So we can see how important faith is. You know, I mean, I've had people my whole Christian life, you know, if you are a student of the Word and you're going to meditate on the Word because you want to, like God told Joshua, he said, meditate on my Word day and night, then ye shall make your way prosperous and ye shall have good success. You know, and the Lord even quickened me to that. I thought, where's God in all this? Why didn't he say God? Why didn't he say, I will make you prosperous, you know? I was just thinking about that while I was reading it years and years and years ago. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, the reason why I didn't say that, he said, I was with Joshua. He said, and the reason why I don't say that there is because when he begins to meditate on my word and do things my way and go follow me, he said, he will be prosperous. And the Lord, you know, the Lord is raising up a church in this last hour that we're in, praise God, that is going to be productive in battle, productive when things comes against them, productive when the enemy comes in like a flood. The standard's already been rose against him. Isaiah prophesied, he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard. Well, that standard was Jesus. And, you know, and over the course of being a Christian for years and years, you know, I've been challenged on different things of the way people do, you know, in the Christian arena. What I mean by that is, you know, I went through an arena. It seemed like a season for a few years, you know, when you heard the false doctrine, you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. I mean, that's false doctrine. That is totally contrary to God's. What that was trying to do in my heart and mind is break down the word, break down, water the word down that comes from this Bible that says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. What it was trying to do was convince me that what I was seeing in the natural in people's lives was so. And the Lord, you know, and I told the Lord years ago, just concerning that, I went through an arena, and I got it settled. I got it settled in my heart and in my mind. God's word is truth, praise God. And I don't care what everybody does, God's word is truth. The Bible says that I will know God's people by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. What is fruit on an apple tree? Apples, right? What is fruit in a Christian's life? Faith. Faith. Confidence. Trust. You know, we don't even have to say like Job did, oh Lord, though you slay me, will I serve you. Job talked a lot out of ignorance. But God delivered Job. God showed Job the plan that he had for him all along. expect it in. Read the Bible. And so, but the enemy went through seasons of that, you know, where Christians would say, well, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Jesus never said it. Jesus never said that. Job said a lot of, and see, what I'm saying is, you can't take one scripture out of the Bible and build a doctrine on it. It won't be right. The Bible says that by three or four witnesses, three or four things coming together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, Isaiah, all of them will come in and they will be in compliance one with another. Hallelujah. See, in order to be productive in the battle, what I mean by battle is maybe life or walk with the Lord. Put it any way you want to do it. Any way you want to say it. We got to have God's Word. God's Word is God's will. There's things in the Bible that is very clear what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that he would that none should perish. So it's not God's will that one person leave this planet lost without Jesus. It's not God's will. I've heard Christians say, well, you know, they was cursed from birth and it was destined for them to go to hell. That's contrary to Scripture, no matter what they think. Right? See, in other words, these things come to try to water down the word in the hearts of God's people so that when the battle gets on, they are confused. Confused about the will of God. That's how come whenever sickness and disease or something comes against my body, immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately, I get on the word of God. And I start speaking to my body. Thank you, Lord, that by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. No weapon that's formed against me will prosper. Well, my mind is saying, well, you know, it's because you're getting older. My mind told me back there at 30, well, it's because you're getting older. He's trying to pull the same con game with 30 years later. Not 30, but whatever it is. I did a sermon here a while back that where the Lord gave me the title of it was Satan Lies to Deceive. He tells you lies. He can't. There's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. But he speaks these lies so that I'll believe that I'm getting older and it's just the way it is. He tries to make me believe that I'm older, you know, and he tries all the time. He's like, well, it's about time for you to retire. I know the difference here and here. See, God put me in my job. He put you in your job, and you know it's his will, and then you don't let time, body, or anything get you out of God's will. There will come a time when I believe, I want him to. He says, I want you to move away from Travis and let him have it all. I'm believing God for it, Matt. You know. But until the Lord, I will be 90 kicking God's doors. If he don't tell me anything, why? Because that's the will of God, and I'm not going to get out of the will of God. But if he tells me, I mean, even if he told me today, Mackie says, I want you to let Travis have it, that would be hard. Not because of the money, not it wouldn't be the, I like work. I mean, I've enjoyed this for a long time. So even that would be a challenge to me, to let him go and let him go do it all and get do all the work. And I was telling him the other day, and you know, the Lord, I'll tell you these stories. See, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and I walk with him in the garage in my job. I don't leave him at home. When I go to work, Jesus is in me. He's with me. And I walk with him, and he's involved in that, you know. And I just told Travis the other day, we was going down the road, and we was talking about we was talking about something about the garage door business. And I was talking about, he was talking about how some people, mom and dad left them and give them everything. Nothing wrong with that. You know? And so I told him, I said, well, I said, nobody's give me anything. They have back yonder. Dad give me land. And I sold it. Me and Teresa sold it to my sister and give our house to her and land and this and that, you know. And but I paid for that. I spent more money than the land was worth getting it cleaned up and straightened up and all of that. Yeah. But I was telling Travis, I said, I've worked for everything that I've got. I've worked and of course now I'm not leaving God out. God is the only reason I'm successful where I'm at. I am absolutely 100% confident. Without Him, I would not be where I'm at in my marriage, in my ministry, at work, financially, or anything. But it wasn't in the goosebumps that got me here. It was in the solid foundation of Jesus and the Word of God. So I told Travis, I said, I've done it by myself. We was on a big job yesterday, 3 12-by-12s and 3 openers, you know, and it took us all day nearly, you know, and all of that. And I've been on them by myself. Determined, God, you strengthen me. God, I can do all things. At that time, I remember the hardship. I remember the struggle of no help, and there it is in front of you, and you got a good name now, and you got to keep a good name now, and you got to get, you know, and all of these things. See, but all the time, I was using the Word and relying on strength from God, and He was making me productive in battle. He's making you productive where you're at right now for the times to come. The Bible says for us to lay up a good foundation in here for the times to come. Paul talks about it. But I told Travis, I said, I did it all alone. I went alone. I did everything by myself. I've been nearly 30 years. People work, quit, gone, out, all of that, you know. But determined. See, once you're determined not to quit, and not to fail, God gets involved. And I mean, He strengthens you. He gives you the strength you need. He gives you an on-time word. He brings breakthroughs into your life right when you need them, praise God. Just like I think about Doris. She got married, and her last husband, and they got saved and everything. And they owned some property over on 278 over there. I think it was 10, 12 acres and a trailer or whatever the case might be. He come to me and he said, I believe the Lord's telling me to get out of debt or something. I said, well, sounds like God to me, you know. And so anyhow, he made a choice and he sold their property. And I don't think it was agreeable or everything. I don't know. Bought an old house with some tore down chicken houses and stuff. And I think 10 acres on the river over here somewhere off Black Road or whatever. And that was, y'all didn't agree too much on that either. No. Well, time goes on. He got him out of debt. He felt like God was leading him out of debt. Well, he went on to be with the Lord later on. And because of that, Doris was able to go in and pay cash for her house. Sell that, pay cash for her house, and then the Lord just began to bless her and all of that and set her up financially for life, just like I heard He done did. Anytime you can go and quit your job, retired. Anytime you can go and you retire and it's paying you more than when you work, that's God. Come on, somebody. But that's just one of three jobs this woman's got. I mean, it's hard to sit here and say the hand of the diligent will bear root because she speaks to me. She's diligent, you know. But you know, I mean, I've thought about it years and years. I've knew Dee for a lot of years. I've knew her for a lot of years, you know. And I've seen this woman multitask and all of that stuff. And I didn't know for a long time she was a Christian or not. I mean, we didn't talk about the Lord. She done the taxes, you know, and all of that stuff for years and years and years, you know. But it makes sense now. Walking with the Lord, He loads you up daily, the Bible says in Psalms. He daily loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Every day He's loading us up. Done over there. Battling demons for 20-something years. Speaks to him. Tries to fight him and blah, 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 you know. 20-something years. And I've prayed for him, fasted for him. I've rebuked him off of him and all of that stuff. How many knows a leader or some family can only do so much? There has to be some fighting on their part. But he walks in today and he said, it's better now. He said, he told me, you know. And I said, well, you just keep going. I said, I realize that Satan has strongholds in people's lives sometimes that's been there for decades. And then when it's there for decades, it might not take a week to get it chipped away. Might not take a month. It might take a little while. It might take a couple of years. Well, he ain't been here for 2 or 3 years. We about helping him whip it. So I just looked at him and I said, there's coming a day not too long from now that you ain't, that battle will be over. You hang in there. You keep fighting. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not just breathing a bunch of hot air to him. Jesus said he's Lord. Jesus said he give us power over all the power of the devil. Hallelujah. Satan talks to me, sends me thoughts. Me and Tracy were mad one time, and he said, Tracy's going to shoot you. I thought, oh, my God. So I went in there in the gun cabinet, Matt, and I got all the guns out, and I took the shells out. This is why we're Christians. I took all the shells out, man, and I hid the shells. Because I'm thinking if she stabs me, I can get it and take her to the ground. You know, she gets a butcher knife, she won't cut me. But if she pulls a gun, I can't outrun that bullet. And so she comes in there and she said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where's the gun shells? She don't talk like that. I like to make it sound funny. When she points at me, when she's upset, she don't get upset much. Her finger's like this, Matt. I'm like, well, straighten your finger and I'll believe you. Her finger won't straighten out when she gets mad at me, Matt. And one eye looks a little that way. Praise God. I enjoy my wife, man. She's funny. I tell her, I'll be laughing. She, what's it funny? I say, it's you. And she's, I'm not funny. Yeah, you're funny. You're funny. Praise God. But you know what? I mean, fear caused me to go unload them guns. Right? So don't you think you're the only one that he brings thoughts to, Don? Where we all have to battle him in that way. He comes to us and says, well, you're doomed. You're defeated. He comes to us and said the church is washed up. He comes to us, well, you get one saved, another one quits. We went through a squeeze and shaking last year and lost about 8 or 9. Y'all didn't recognize it. Ain't our fault. Right? People decide to get up, gear up, and give into their emotions, whatever the case may be. But they some that's going to be productive in the warfare that is coming against them because they done come too far to turn back. They done come too far to look back. They done been through the fire. They done been through the flood. They done come out into an abundant place of joy and peace and confidence in God that He is able and willing to do abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that works in us. See, I'm telling you right now, you can be in debt over your eyeballs right now, and I mean get down to serious business with God and ask the Lord and cast it over on Him. Say, God, teach me and show me, Lord. Help me, God. Help me to come out of debt, God. He wants you to be debt-free. The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. Slave. go to work to pay them. Go to work to pay them. I'm not going to get on that. Get out of debt. Oh, I don't see how I can. Well, that's what the Bible says. Use your faith for. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes your house payment, overcomes your car payment, overcomes your tractor payment, overcomes your track hole payment, whatever the case may be. Your addiction, whatever. Faith is the victory that overcomes. All you got to do is hang in there and learn how to be productive. You know, being productive is simply staying in faith, staying in the right spirit. That's how simple it is. It's not hard. Well, I don't know all the words. You don't have to know all the words. Use what you know. Just use what you know. Well, if I knew a lot of the Bible, no, head knowledge ain't as good as heart revelation. Satan knows the Bible, but he ain't got no God light. He knows it. He twists it. He can quote you the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That dude knows that Bible. That dude knows God. That dude knows Jesus. That dude knows the Holy Ghost. And that dude knows you. I mean, he's got a plan for my grandkids. It ain't no, oh God, all of a sudden. I knew it before the grandkids got here that he had plans for them. He actually used my grandkids that I didn't have because I was ready to go home and see Jesus. Mac, I'll tell the Lord, Lord, just take me on home, Lord. You fulfill me up to this. You've given me my marriage that I wanted, God. You've given me all the ministry that I asked you for, God. You've been good to me, God. This is 2007, 8, or 9. And I'm sitting on my back porch, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, dream. And I said, God, I don't want to dream no more, God. I don't, God. I just don't want to dream anymore. He said, dream. And he said, imagine your grandkids. They didn't have no kids. They didn't have kids. So I thought, oh, well, what will it hurt? You know. So I sat there on my back porch, Matt, and I looked out across there, and I could just imagine a grandkid running to my house. It is not imaginary right now. Let God, it's real. I can step outside and I think they're watching out the window. And I mean, they're like, hey, Papa, hey, Papa, hey. And I'm like, I saw you before you got out there. I felt you before I came out. Well, that dreaming caused me to say, glory to God, I'm not through. I want grandkids. I want to. And it caused me to get up and start dreaming, Mac. It caused me to get up and say there's more to life than what I've experienced. There's deeper in God. There's more fulfillment. You know, I mean, I'd lost my mom and my parents are done gone. So Christmas, you know, was kind of a challenge to me. Thanksgiving was kind of a challenge to me because I'd lost my mom and different things and all kind of things taking place down there, you know. And I had this preacher. Teresa had this preacher on. His name is Keith Moore. If y'all want to hook up with a good minister, pull it up on your phone. Go in there and hook yourself up with some good anointed teaching. Well, I mean, I'm going through, you know, this stage, you know, where I'm missing mom and it's causing me to miss dad. And my dad's been gone nearly 30 years. He was a good man. Good man. He just didn't lead us all to Jesus. Like, you know, that's fine. God made up for it. Well, he's preaching, you know, and he said, yeah, my dad went on to be with the Lord several years ago, and he started talking. He said, I've seen people, I've seen God's people, he said, go through 10 years and 15 years later. He said, and they're still grieving. They can't enjoy Thanksgiving. They can't enjoy Christmas. They can't enjoy birthdays. They can't enjoy because they're oppressed over their loss. He said, now, he said, the Lord, he said, I'm asking the Lord to help me at that time. He said, and the Lord told me, he said, all the time that I gave you with them, he said, rehearse that. He said, what you're doing, he said, is all about you. And then I realized, you know, if God brought my mama back from heaven, she would murder me. She wouldn't walk in love. She's with Jesus. If I had the ability to bring her back, she would kill me. She would murder me. Bringing her out of glory land, bringing her out of the presence of God and Jesus and the angels and Paul and all of those that was preached about and she heard about, she's in their presence with Jonah. She's in the presence of David and all the mighty men of God and women of God in the Bible, and bring her back here. And I thought, glory to God. I would not. Well, what I'm saying is, see, in that season in my life, Satan was trying to render me unproductive. Satan was using what he had to keep me oppressed. So if you've lost loved ones and things coming up, you better not stay oppressed for 15 years. You better ask the Lord to help you, and every season say, yes, thank you, Lord, that I had so many years with them. Hallelujah. Because you know what? If time goes on, if this church moves on, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord one day, and y'all can't lay down, well, our pastor died. What are we going to do? We might as well just quit. I ain't trained you to quit. Step up. Step up, hallelujah. And so now, when I run into the presence, and I do all the time, of God's people that has lost loved ones, and they're so out of place in this earth, I got something for them, Mac. I'll tell them, you know, how many years was you with Mom? How many years was you with your sister? How many years was you with your brother? Did y'all have good times together? Did God allow you to have memories? Well, then they say, oh, yes. Oh, it was wonderful. Made them feel better just thinking about the good times. And so I would tell them, well, when this season comes in your life again, you just begin to talk to God, and you begin to thank God for those birthdays. Thank God for those Christmas. Thank God for them. I said, and get the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, and so you can enjoy your now people, your now life. Because you know what? I mean, my son, if Jesus don't come back, I will leave this planet. Now, he can cry and he can beg God and all that stuff, you know, praise God. But you know what? He said under the anointed word for all of these years, and he should be equipped for the battle when it meets his door. Most all of us in here lost our parents. Teresa's papa went home to be with the Lord. I felt lonely, Mac. I loved that man. That man taught me a lot that my dad didn't teach me. Lost. That man was a mentor to me and didn't even know it. That man taught me how to love unconditionally. I felt better at holidays at their house, at his house, than I did at my house. Now, I don't mean that, no disrespect to y'all Westons watching. My experience is what it is. And so it caused me, God used it. And it caused me to come to this thinking in my head, you know, where I used to think if something happened to me and Teresa, she ain't getting nothing. And his walk in life and played out, it caused me to start thinking, I will give her everything and walk away that she don't lack anything if something happens to us. Now, God used him. Still today, rings true. He had this, he said, he brought out this, and I didn't really understand. I mean, he would talk about things about government and different things, and at that time I would be like, well, I'm over here, I'm going to trust God. Now, I was right, you know. And I'm going to trust God, but he had been around a long time. He said, you know, he said, you can take a frog. He said, and you can put it in a pan of cold water on an eye and turn that on slow. He said, that frog will sit there till it cooks. He said, but you can turn that up high. He said, and get that water hot. He said, and you throw that frog in it, that frog will jump out. He'll jump out of there. He said, but little at a time, you know, he said, little at a time. And I thought about that. I thought, that's the way Satan is. If he can get me to believe a little bit that God ain't going to come through. If he can get me, before you know it, he'll have me cooked. I'm going to enjoy all of y'all for Christmas. I am Daddy. Hallelujah. We're headed over to Thanksgiving over to Teresa's mom the other day and was talking. I was aggravating her. I was backing out, riding with her, Mac, you know. Just, I was aggravating her, and she prays in tongues. She said, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I said, I'm not the devil. And she said, we got to get stay in the right spirit. We're headed over to mom them's. And I said, well, I told her, I am a move of God. Well, I just heard Brad preach, man, about me, you know. And so I told her, I said, I am a move of God. I'm God moving over there. But I did quit because I didn't want to get her in the wrong. I can't. If my devil can't get her in the wrong spirit, but I can. I don't know what it is, but I have the ability where the devil can't even work. I can. He'd like for me to help him a little more, but I'm not going to do it. See her? Amen. That's the first amen I've heard out of her all night. No, I'm just kidding. I know it. I'm just kidding. But the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. How do we have faith, even our faith? How do we get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing about Joseph, hearing about Daniel, hearing about Shadrach, Meshach, hearing about somebody done come through and got the victory over oppression and depression in times when they've lost. Beth lost her grandmother. She's battling with that. It ain't been a year, I'm sure. I don't have to prophesy. But Beth has to rise up just like the rest and say, victory, oh, victory is mine. God, I'm going to enjoy this season. I'm going and do it by faith. And that faith will cause you, not just you, Beth. I'm talking to people all over the world. But sometimes when we enter into a loss or a battle, you know, we feel alone. I mean, we feel like, you know, there's nobody else in that. But that's not so. That is just not so. Everybody in here is facing something, some form or another. Now, these kicking it, she's going to don't get lazy on us. She's going to retire from that job, but she got two more. But still, that's a big plus, man. It's a big plus, hallelujah. So, you know, I mean, we've got to learn every step we take to be productive. See, I've not been married but 37 years. Something like that. I'm looking forward to the next four, Mac. I gotta get stronger. I mean, I gotta get stronger, Mac, so that I'm really laughing the next 4 years. Well, you know, that spirit of faith is contagious. You're gonna get it. You're gonna catch it. You're going to catch it. Did you know faith is contagious? I've been sitting financially just really strapped on a Friday night in my home, and we're pulling up Faith Life Church. They have Friday night services. And at the time, we're really strapped in our life, really going through some major stuff. We're listening to that. Because we know faith comes by hearing. Now, we didn't feel joy, Mac. We're in the middle of this fire. But we know this fire is trying to burn us. We know this fire is trying to take us out. We know this challenge that we're in is trying to destroy us. We know it. So knowing that, we're doing something about it. Well, every Friday night I'm hearing how they're raising funds and they're buying their land for like $6,500 an acre. And I'm like, God, buy half of Blountsville for that. You know? But I'm hearing that and I'm like, glory to God. If God will do it over in Branson, Missouri, he'll do it over here or wherever he's at. I thought, you know. And so hearing that every Friday night, we're pulling it up every Friday night. Every Friday night, it's getting in there. It's starting to do. Well, you know what? I'm paying my house off before 2023. I got the money. And I was sitting down there wondering if I was going to live in a house. Wondering if Travis Nibb's going to be on the streets because I've given all of our land away and they're living on ours. And if I lose it, guess what? They're on the street. But you know what? All the time, God was saying, turn the word on. Turn the word on. Listen to the word. Think the word. Say the word. Speak the word. Don't say the wrong thing when they call telling you to get out of your house. Don't say the wrong thing. The last time when the dude called me, I told him, I said, listen, buddy, I said, you go to your supervisor or your boss and you tell them, I signed the papers on this house. And you tell them that Wells Fargo will never get my house. Clink. I hung up on the bank. Y'all are quiet. I'm in my house. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose nothing but a garbage dumpster. And I'm glad it was gone. That was ripping me off. Hallelujah. I hung to the scripture just like you got to right now hang to the scripture. See, I have to put God first. God before my wife. God before y'all. God comes before y'all with me. He has to be first. Now, y'all are right under that. My family. But he's first. Well, what I mean by that is Jesus over there, he said, no man has left father, mother, land, brothers, sisters, all of that for my sake and the gospel's and lost anything. But he shall receive 100-fold. They promised to putting him first, putting the word first, standing on the word. Teresa told me after that major trial was over, and I remembered it after that. She said, all I wanted to hear is everything's going to be okay from you. But Mac, I didn't have it in me. It didn't feel like everything's okay. It didn't look like everything's okay. But see, I missed the opportunity to use my faith in that time to encourage her in the middle of that battle, becoming unproductive. See, the Bible says in Luke 4 over there, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside with the word of sown. Satan comes to me and steal the word of God. And these are those that is on stony ground where it is sown, but it has no root. And when times of testing and trouble come, they fall away. They stumble. No root in them. You know? You see, I used to ruin my, especially my squash. Because squash is something you can plant and it come up early, you know? So every year, Mac, now I know typically if the ground is right and the moisture is right, 7 days it takes a seed to come up, 7 to 10 days. Primarily about 7 days. So the sixth day I'm out there looking. I'm trying to see them coming up. And I don't see them coming up. And I'm thinking, I know I planted one there. And so I dig around, Mac, just to see. And every time I would dig that seed up, it would die. And the Lord told me, he said, that's the way the word is. If you don't let it stay in your heart, it becomes unproductive. In other words, it won't generate faith for you. Faith can be there and cares. It goes on and says that the cares of this world, the desires of other things come in and choke the word. And it says the reason why it's there to do that it becomes unfruitful. The Word brings healing. The Word brings deliverance. The Word brings faith. The Word brings joy. The Word brings confidence. All of that fruit is in the Word of God. The Lord told me one time, He said, the letter I contains faith in the Bible. The letter T. In other words, He was getting it down to where He was letting me know that the Word of God is containers of faith. I mean, people's told me most of my Christian life, gosh, Scotty just always talking about, I don't talk about it like I used to. It's settled in here now, you know. It is. I do talk about it. But I got it settled in here, and it's in me. And as long as I don't let the storms in, you can't sink that ship. As long as I don't let oppression and fear and all of that get that word out of there, that word will last me for a lifetime. The same thing that worked for me in 1994 works for me right now in 2022. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto me, unto you. Good pressure, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. That word don't change. And if I do that word and you do that word, you know, I mean, I don't even have, I used to put it a year in advance for Christmas. I'm believing you for a good Christmas, Lord. January. I used to wait till mid-December. I'd be like, well, it'll just turn out the way it turns out. Well, that's not what God wants in our life. I don't have to wonder. Now, if I'm going to be able to, I can buy all of y'all some Christmas. Now, I'm not going to unless the Lord tells me. Y'all don't need nothing. Y'all blessed, right? Just give me a big pot of chicken dressing. some ham. I'm not a turkey man. I get plenty of turkey at home. You know, Teresa cooks turkey, buys turkey sandwiches. Every now and then she gets me black ham and all, but that ain't like a good ham. That sliced ham ain't good as a good ham baked in the oven, right? A good one. Not full of honey. Hallelujah. So, you know, we got to be productive where we're at. I mean, just like women. If God's anointed you to clean your house, get up and clean it. You're anointed to clean it. It'll make you happy to clean the house. I'm serious. I was the world's worst at home. If something broke down in the house, I would dump it out the door. I mean, washing machines out laying in the yard, you know. And back then, I wouldn't buy a new air conditioner, so I'm getting everything everybody gives me. And then when it breaks down, I just pile it out the porch and stick another one in there. So my yard is like a garbage dump. And so I'm going down the road one time, and I went by my house, and the Lord I just looked over there. He said, that's the way you've been living, cluttered up. Cluttered. He said, clean it up. He said, that's a representation of me because you're mine. And so it took us about 5 or 6 months. You know, the garbage can was slap full every time he run, nearly running over. Got that thing cleaned up, cleaned all of that up. And I'm telling you, me doing that, Mac, I felt like, glory to God, I'm in the glory of God here. Why? Because God was anointing me. He was anointing me to clean the yard up. He's anointing y'all ladies to clean the house, wash the dishes, wash the clothes, keep it clean. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. What do you think that means? Just for the preachers? Come on, somebody. Get up, Travis. He's running late. Too much here late. It worked. 5 minutes after, I'm thinking, I think he's waiting on me and him to get loaded up and get all this stuff together so we can just get out here with his little bad self, because he can't set his clock and get up 5 minutes earlier, and we got everything loaded so we don't have to do nothing. Now, I hope that ain't the case. I hope it ain't the case. But he knows whether it is or not. If the thought hits his mind and he consciously cuts his clock off and sleeps an extra 5 minutes, that's what he's doing. See, you think I'm just talking to you. This Bible is for all of us. It's for him. Be diligent. Hand of the diligent will bear rue. The slothful will be put to forced labor. I'll force him sooner or later. Son, get up. Somebody wanted to come work for me. I've been going to work at 7 o'clock for 20-something years. They told Travis, well, if he had started 8, because I have to go to the bathroom. Now, I'm glad he didn't tell me, because I'd have told him, set your clock for 4:30, homeboy. Get on the toilet at 5. Get off the toilet at 5:45. Go in there and brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, cook it and everything else, and drive your little happy self to Bluntsville to the shop by 7. I do it. God anoints me to do it. God anoints you. God anoints y'all ladies to clean the house. Well, I work a job. Well, quit. Clean the house. We go to work and y'all want us to clean the toilet and move the toilet and move the fans and fix the air conditions, right? Fix the windows and go plug your tires, right? After we work all day, don't you? Y'all hadn't thought about that elevator, had you? Work all day. I got a list that's laying in there on the counter. What? What do you mean a list? Why ain't you done that? Now, Teresa's just learning about this one. Come in the other day and doing something. I don't know, worked all day or whatever. Come in, and I got her a TV for Christmas. Big. I mean, she would have the whole living room full of TV, Mac. That's her thing. Mine's backhoe. I enjoy backhoe. I'd ride around the yard and be happy on a backhoe just because it's a backhoe. Now, her thing's TV. She enjoys. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. So me and Travis piles the garbage out in front on the carport, and then we put half of it because it's big. It's a big box, Mac. I came in for work, and I started out, and she said, why ain't you got them cardboard boxes up? And I thought, what did you just say? I'm like, wonder how many movies she watched today on that big TV. My half. I'm like, she got a gator. Why didn't you haul them off? Now, I didn't tell her that. I turned around her. I wanted to go in there and tell her, what? What have you been doing all day today? But you know what? God's looking at me. And God's saying, just stay in the right spirit. And so, you know what? I didn't say what I wanted to say. I didn't do what I wanted to do. I went and I got those cardboard boxes, and by the time I got halfway to the burn pile, I was over my little mad spell. Why? Because I'm anointed to do that. But you know what? I come in today, and guess who's sweeping the floor? The robot. There ain't nothing wrong with that, man. She graduated. I bought her a robot, man. She did. Praise God. But you know what? I don't come in to dirty clothes. Now, there ain't no robot. She can't buy one of them yet. It will come, and she'll get her one. But I don't come in to dirty clothes. See, now I'm talking about being productive in battle, but your spiritual life is attached to your natural life. What you do that you know the Lord wants you to do. Just like the grandkids come over and Teresa, she says, I think we need to spend time with the grandkids. I said, okay, that's fine. I mean, they're out there, but somebody can be in your presence and you ain't spending time with them. You got phones and you got games and you got TV going on and you got bath and you got supper. And so took time and they're reading to us. That's time. That's anointed time. These grandkids will be, I mean, there's things that Teresa tells me about Pop, her papa, that I hear the love that she had for him. Out of the way he loved her. And it ain't because he didn't discipline her. I remember one time she wanted this room car. Me and her separated, and he took her to the sale over there. And she wanted this Firebird, I think. The Firebird with a big 400 in it, 400 big block, you know. Oh, she wanted it. Pop, he wasn't moved. He's like, you don't even know what you want. You don't want that. He gets to suck gas and all that. So we bought her a little Dodge Dart with a 6-cylinder. But you know what? I've heard her tell about that, but no ill will in her mouth towards her pawpaw concerning that. No ill will. But why? Because she knew that pawpaw loved her, that he really loved her. He really cared for her. And he did. She wanted a Michael Jackson poster. He wasn't going to buy her a Michael Jackson poster. He ain't getting no Michael Jackson. I think she had me to wear parachute breeches because of Michael Jackson back down yonder. And I did try to moon, whatever you call that stuff, you know. Moonwalking. I'm just not that limber, Mac. But you know what? You know what she got? A Michael Jackson poster hanging on the wall. Why? Because Papa loved her. See, these things that we put out of our lives now are projecting something into our kids, into our grandkids, into our neighbors, into our church life, into everything. And if we are productive, I'm telling you right now, but we got to be doing it. I did read the rest of that James over there, chapter 1 over there, where it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But it goes on, and he said, a doer will be blessed in all of his deeds. He'll be blessed. So, I mean, even Teresa worked. She went to Walmart night shift because she can't sleep at night, so that fit her just fine. And I told her, I said, well, it ain't going to affect church on Wednesday. You can work at night if you want to, but we're going to church on Wednesday. And I expected supper to be done. I expected her to cook supper and wash my dishes and go to work. Y'all are quiet. We're living in a generation like, boy, Scotty, he's just too old school. No, I'm Bible. The Bible says for the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. The Bible says for the wife to submit herself, be submissive to her, take care of her husband, take care. See, a woman is anointed to help the man succeed. If the woman does her part, the man will succeed. He'll be successful. Teresa went one time and she wanted to go. They had women's meetings at our church. Mac started women's meetings. And so she's going to the women's meeting to find out how to straighten me out so that she can be the wife. I'm getting close. She wanted to find out how she could be happy. And she thought it was getting me changed. But you know, she went to those women's meetings, and she heard down the lines of whatever you want your husband to be, speak that over him. That's part of your job. That's part of my job. I used to tell her a lot. She'd be on these to lose weight, and I'd say, whoop, you're losing weight, baby. Now, I was doing it by faith, Mac. You're looking good. Before you know it, she's out there, got Eye of the Tiger on the back porch. Eye of the Tiger song, you know, Eye of the Tiger. And she's out there, boy, and she's like Rambo, up and down, doing it, and down and up them stairs. You know what? I saw her diligently do that because she wanted to be productive. She didn't like the way she was, and she did what she needed to do, and God anointed and helped her, and she came down to what she wanted to be. So, you know, God wants us to be productive in the battles, in the challenges. You're never going to get away from challenges. You're not going to get away from the enemy. You're not going to get away from life, and life happens to everybody. Just like we went and did a big job yesterday, the dude orders the color doors he wants. He sends a picture how he wants the doors done. They're up yonder in Fort Payne, and We go yesterday and do the job, and I get a call today, and the guy ain't satisfied with the color. Not my fault. The guy wants the windows down here. That's a problem because I done put straps on the outside of the door and drilled holes in the doors. And if I move anything, then there's going to be holes in the doors. I didn't want that call this morning. A $15,000 job. And you think you got trouble? I ain't got no trouble. I got faith in God. And so I pulled up and I looked at it and I'm like, okay. Then I made a phone call back and I said, well, you know, I said I did them just exactly like the picture you sent me. That he won't, oh yeah, it ain't your fault. And it's not my fault. And here goes God now. Here he comes in there now. He said, well, man, he said, could you just go move the windows down? Because I'm thinking, man, this is not good. This is a lot of money for these doors. Now I'm on this game. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It's forming, but somehow this is going to turn. You better be on that, and you better be diligent to that, or something's going to eat your lunch sooner or later. Something, if you ain't diligent in that, believing God and trusting God, standing when, I mean, it's easy to stand when you ain't got no troubles and your bills ain't due and all of that. And oh, it's just wonderful, wonderful. But that is a short-lived season in your life, and God will not allow you to stay there long, be honest with you. God wants you growing and developing and marching forward and getting stronger in Him and in the Lord for the last days. Well, you know what? I told him, he ended up saying, well, he'll pay you and everything. And you know what? Just so happens that we got a job that we already had planned to do in Crossville, which is pretty close to that job. So it's not going to cost me but about 30 minutes time to get there. But that was God. He worked that thing out. We're going to go do that job. We're going to come right back. But you know, it tried to worry me. Things try to worry you. You ain't going to have enough money for Christmas. You're not going to be happy for Christmas and all of that, you know. No. God said He'd supply all of your needs, right? Teresa, one time, I'm going to close. One time, we didn't have no money for Christmas. We didn't have none. Not for Travis, not for nobody, not for Mama, not for nobody. And so we made up our mind, Mac, it ain't about money. It's not about a Walmart gift. It's about love. We love our family. So you know what she did? She got some Christmas cards. And she wrote notes in them to each one that she would normally give. Now, we ended up, because she was willing to do that, we're willing to do that, you know, and we had money, and we bought people Christmas that year. We didn't give up on that. But we realized, you know what? We've got more than what we think. We got love on the inside. And you don't cost you nothing to write a letter. You don't even have to get a card. Aubrey writes them to me all the time. This is for you, Papa. Got one hanging in the living room in her hand painting. I think she might have painted. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't you let things get you unproductive. And you know what? Slothfulness will cause you not to feel good. Slothfulness will cause you not to feel good. I'm telling you, it honestly will cause you not to feel good. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, though, don't get unproductive. If you've been unproductive, rise up. Rise up and get productive. You know? I mean, don't let the challenges of life render you unproductive, praise God. Meet the challenge, praise God, whatever it is, thoughts, whatever it is. Use the word of God and move forward, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just